It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find the Berkshire Edge 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. BerkshireEdge.com, TheBerkshireEdge.com. And we're joined by David and Marcy every week. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Coronavirus Central.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting.
As is every other newsroom in the country.
No, actually, we discovered that we were taping a show yesterday, and we discovered it was over there, and in fact, there was one piece of non-coronavirus rated. She's in Switzerland, and she said, I can tell that things are changing. Not only are shops opening up, but I've just seen it for the first piece of non-coronavirus news in ever.
So, is it?
Where was that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
She had just seen the first piece of non-coronavirus news.
But who is she?
Her name is Mirella Rostorfer. She does a show for us called Over There.
Oh, I see. Right. Well, we've been trying to not be completely limited to coronavirus. You know, we've continued to cover other news and have other kinds of articles because, you know, we find that people are getting just overloaded.
Well, what's interesting, and you say that, is what we've done with our web page, our actually Facebook page, RobinHoodRadio.com. We also are now calling it the Daily Bugle. And what we're doing is we're taking stories and urging people to go to websites like yours and other news websites so they can get a better, fuller picture. And so we put links up almost on a daily basis to stories that, like you have and other places have, so people can get a fuller picture of not only coronavirus stories, but other news stories that are in the region. It's just a way we feel like we can spread the information where people can find out more information and where they can go to get information, not only for Connecticut, but for Massachusetts and New York as well, because it can get a little depressing at times with just coronavirus.
Right.
Plus, it's relentless. It's the same bits of information that aren't exactly fleshed out, so it doesn't give you enough to really make a lucid decision.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to start with
we go.
We're going to have a couple of those.
But this is an important one because we're following this in Connecticut and also for our friends in New York State. The Massachusetts governor has got a phased in basically reopening
more
of the phase state.
Reopening of the mass economy, and he has, you know, very specific. It's a methodical approach in which, you know, to protect the public health, and you know, he has an advisory board, and they are going to determine. He's gradually reopening businesses and so on by beginning, anyways, on May 18th, which is in a week. So that's his approach is a cautious one based on you know, what data he's been receiving.
Yeah, it's interesting because Connecticut has plans on opening up on the 20th if everything goes all right, and because we operate the Bargain Barn, which raises money for our non-for-profit, we have slowly been assembling what we've had to do, which is put up plastic protection in between people at the cash register and also at wherever we have a counter, there's that plastic protection. We're not going to be able to have our dressing rooms or fitting rooms opened. They are closed, even though we can open up. We can only have a certain amount of people come in. Everybody has to have masks. And because we're just coming back, no donations are going to be accepted
initially
until we get clearer advice from the state on how to do that and do it safely. So this, you know, along with the slow reopening, and to every business has to follow a lot of different rules.
But I do want to add to that that the businesses that have been open during this time have adapted and adapted well. So even the people at the Extra Mart in Sharon, where I stop daily, you know, it's like, hey, you learn the dance, you choreograph it, you carry on.
Right. Yeah, right. No. And here, too, of course. And, of course, we all listen to Cuomo in New York. And, you know, I feel like, you know, our three states, New York, Connecticut and Massachusetts have been very sensible about this.
And New Jersey, too. New Jersey has part of the compact as well.
Yeah.
Well, here's a story that goes on, and that is the Boston Symphony Orchestra. They have announced some sort of summer season, but the Tanglewood season is actually the one that's still up in the air.
Still up in the air. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, everybody's waiting. They said by the middle of May they would let us know. They are very reluctant to cancel Tanglewood, which, of course, everyone is happy about. Sorry for that beep. We have we seem to have a...
It's okay. We didn't hear it.
Smoke alarm. Oh, smoke alarm that's beeping that we haven't had time to get to yet.
But the VSO is... very cautiously trying to figure out what is exactly they can have of their season. You know, they haven't announced yet whether or not Tanglewood and the Boston Pops is going to be able to be here in the summer. But this is, you know, for the Birchers, you know, our summer season is loaded with all kinds of events and cultural performances, from dance to music to theater.
But not this year.
Yeah. That's why it's a good thing that they're even considering.
It's going to be a major blow to the economy here.
Major.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because what the BSO is doing, what Tanglewood is doing, and our next story about Barrington Stage, the folks at the Sharon Playhouse are going to do stuff in their parking lot beginning in July, cabarets where it's wide open, open air, people can distance. They're going to have some food trucks there. And then they're planning in August and the beginning part of September to bring a couple of their three shows to the season. That's what they've got planned for now, and that is all really dependent upon the CDC.
It's all subject to change, but they're at least proceeding.
Yeah, and as is Barrington Stage, you know, they've got a couple of shows already announced, starting in, I guess, at the end of July.
Right.
Yeah. And they seem to be selling tickets, or at least they're putting out ads that say, you know, tickets almost sold out. So, but Tanglewood is the big enchilada that has not yet announced. I mean, they have canceled the Boston Pops, which was supposed to be, which takes them to the end of June. And also, you know, they have these popular artist series, which they've also canceled. So they're dark until the end of June, but everybody's wondering about July and August.
Yeah, and Barrington Stage is also trying to maneuver around and possibly present something, maybe not. I mean, but changing the way they're going to do things.
Yeah.
So. Right. They're leaving it kind of open.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to see if we can interview Julianne Boyd, who runs Barrington Stage, because I'm curious how they actually do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to line up actors and, you know, it's something you have to, these performances are something you have to plan way in advance. And I don't think you can just, you know, decide on the spur of the moment, well, I guess we can mount this play, you know.
No, that's why Sharon, the Sharon Playhouse has contacted and done this, and it's all really everything that's planned for like August and September is really in the planning stages. It's set up because actors are not working any place right now, basically, because of the coronavirus. So they can set things up in advance right now and see what happens. It's a roll of the dice. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, listen, the actors don't want to get sick either.
That's exactly.
Yeah, it's not just the audience. I mean, I worry about the Boston Symphony. Those musicians have to sit very close to each other. Maybe you can space the audience far apart, but what about the musicians?
So musicians, and what about practicing? Where you've got everybody on stage and close. There's so many things to consider. There's just it's amazing. But you know, your next story is interesting. They even sent a press release to us here at Robin Hood Radio, and that are other organizations that of course depend on events to raise funds. And Construct is one of those, and they're adopting to an online strategy to raise money.
They are, as are other organizations, because they're construct provides money for, housing for people who are in distress and who do not have any housing, and they, every year have a major fundraiser to support them.
And it's such a great event.
And it is a great event. Yeah,
and we go every year. You know, it's in a big hall, and local restaurants give food, and you go around and you sample the food from all these local restaurants, and everybody is there, and it's so much fun.
It is fun. And it's a great cause.
Yes, it is.
But this year they're going to have it online, and in order to hopefully raise at least some modest amount of money for their programs.
Well, we had one this past Saturday night, an organization called Community Access to the Arts,
yep.
or CATA,
yep.
Had its annual gala online, and I think they did quite well because they were the first, but they took it very seriously. You know, they sent out invitations, and you had an RSVP, and I think they had a big attendance, and I think they raised, I know they raised a good amount of money. I've asked them whether it falls short of what they usually raise, but they were, on Saturday afternoon, they were up at about $70,000. So,
yeah.
And I don't know how that compares to previous years, but they did very well.
Hey, every dollar in this, when you're a nonprofit,
oh my God.
Every dollar
adds
up.
They need to run their programs all year.
Yeah.
They're very vulnerable people they're working with. So.
All right, your next story is an interesting story out of North Adams, and that is the Food for Vets event.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing the same thing, which is a similar thing for raising money for veterans who are in distress as well. And so they're having an event to raise money for veterans, and it's one of the things that's interesting is how the communities throughout the Berkshires and everywhere have gotten together, and this one might not have happened without this virus, but they've really organized and brought a new level of community concern and spirit to this community, to this area.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's going on everywhere. People are responding in very hopeful and positive ways to a real disaster, actually.
Yeah, it's building a sense of community that wasn't there before, which is interesting. That is a positive side of this. I don't know how long it will last.
Well, I just want to say this, after 9/11, you can remember the positive side that happened
after
that. And and the world actually loved us for a brief moment there.
Right. We had freedom fries.
That's right.
Well, but, I'm not sure they love us now.
No,
we happen to be the center of this pandemic.
That went down.
And we have a leadership who is denying that it even exists.
Well, actually, Russia has just caught up.
Yeah.
Oh, Russia caught up. Well,
Just.
Well, that's because
we all know. With doctored number. The leader in the.
Every night, Trump puts a little candy on Putin's pillow.
That's right.
Okay, let's.
We can move on, but we all know that China really still has the lead because they didn't.
I love their numbers. Their numbers are fantastic. They did so well.
Really great. All right, I want to move on here because this is a story I think that goes along with the plastic water bottles and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And
this is going to go on for a long time.
This is the crosswalk story, which once again, just a simple idea of painting crosswalks and colors. And for pedestrian, it was a rainbow color. And the minute I started reading this story, so I said, well, there's going to be people that protest it, but they're going to think that the rainbow scheme is a support of gay rights. And damned if I go in a little further in the article. And yeah, there you go.
Well, yes, we've had a barrage of letters and comments. So just for the Great Barrington, the town of Great Barrington, has decided to upgrade and repaint the downtown crossroads, and they're going to do it in rainbow colors. This prompted an a letter to the editor from one of our local conservatives that the rainbow colors are a sign of gay pride and the town should not be doing this. Now, then we got a whole bunch of other comments about how the rainbow is not just for gay pride and, you know, all the other meanings of a rainbow, including the light after a storm. And this has been going on for days, and it's very interesting. But it's really horrible to think that everything has become such a polarizing political issue.
Well, that person that
very depressing.
The person that wrote that letter, I hope he doesn't drive down through Connecticut on 41 and 44, because mostly all the churches have rainbow-covered benches or doors and stuff like that.
Andy Morrow is the conservative who wrote this really vicious letter, and he's you know, an ex-Marine, and he likes to parade his patriotism everywhere, and it's really obnoxious.
Well, when you use it for something like this, it is, because I mean the. Painting a sidewalk the color of a rainbow is. There's been towns. I know Kingston, New York, have days where in the uptown area every year where they allow people to come out and paint crosswalks. They just shut down the traffic. People paint the crosswalks.
Yeah.
And it's just a community. It's just a community involvement thing.
Right.
It's no more, no less.
And it brightens up the road. I mean, our picture here is it makes the whole highway seem brighter and more cheerful.
And
I mean,
we've also had a problem that the crosswalks are a little dangerous in Great Barrington. So this is a help.
Yeah. So in any case, I thought it was a great idea from and a very creative idea, you know. You know, hats off to the Mark Pruhensky, the town manager here in Great Barrington, for having this go forward, and to the Public Works Department for painting the darn crosswalks. I mean, I think it's terrific.
All right, I want to go on to a story that's not coronavirus, and the reason I want to go on to this story is a friend of mine on Facebook last week was urging people to vote in Sheffield, to vote for one of his relatives. And so I looked at your paper on the internet, and I saw his relative won and ousted a member on the select board up there.
Hey, it's a whole new world of campaigning. Vote for Mom.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not all coronavirus. And,
as we can see. We have crossroads and elections.
And some of the elections, of course, the town, you know, this is our town meeting season, and so we've had to, towns have had to adjust their the way they vote and how they have town meetings, because you know of course New England form of government is for the whole town to gather and then subsequently vote for candidates, but. In any case, we've had to adjust to our pandemic environment, but we did. Sheffield had election for its select board, and a farmer who is a newcomer. Bob Kilmer beat an incumbent, Nadine Hover. So there you go.
That's the story.
She's been like 3 terms.
Yeah, she's been there forever. So
that's the story I was talking about.
That's the story you're talking about.
Because yeah. I know the it's just a great story. And I watched it, so I said, son of a gun, maybe his letter got, because I guess about, what, 800 or 900 people showed up to vote, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's not bad during a pandemic, I'll tell you.
Well, no, yes, it was about almost 900, 500 and 871, I think, is the number of people that voted.
Although there are something like 2,000 or maybe 2,500 eligible voters.
Right.
So it was only like a 26% turnout.
But for a select board election during a pandemic, I actually think that's not a bad turnout, to be quite honest.
It's not. Yeah. It's, I was just going to say, it was 36% turnout, according to the town clerk. Given the circumstances, that isn't so bad.
Yeah. Well,
democracy is thriving in Sheffield.
Like we say, democracy is like making sausage. It's not a pretty looking process, but the end process. The sausage is great, and the end process of democracy is great.
We really enjoy. I really enjoy town meeting season.
Yeah.
Because it's you get the whole town shows up. Well, you know, the whole town can show up. Let's put it this way, and that's one of the saddest parts of this virus is that it's limited that particular. That particular gathering for in each of these New England, Massachusetts towns. So, but it is in Sheffield, anyways. It's been it's continued.
Well, there's stories out there every day, and of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. TheBerkshireEdge.com is a location that you can go to. Guys, we'll speak to you next week. Stay safe, all right?
Yeah, you guys stay safe, too.
All right,
okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air, TheBerkshireEdge.com on the web once again.